Welcome to another deep dive. We're tackling The 5 a.m. Club by Robin Sharma today.
Oh yeah, a classic.
It's all about, well, you know, waking up at 5 a.m. to transform your life. And we're going deep. We've got excerpts from the book itself.
It's really more than just getting up early, though. Like, yeah. Sharma uses this really interesting story to explore how, you know, personal growth can set you up for success in like all areas of life.
Absolutely. And right from the start, you meet this mysterious guru, the Spellbinder, they call him.
Right.
Big advocate for the 5 a.m. lifestyle. But then there's a twist. He dramatically collapses.
At his own seminar.
Yeah.
It totally hooks you. Like, what's the deal with this guy? And is this 5 a.m. thing, like, really worth it?
That's where other main characters come in. You've got this driven entrepreneur.
Oh, yeah.
And a talented artist. And they're both, I think a lot of us can relate to this.
For sure.
They're feeling lost, skeptical.
Totally. I mean, we all want those goals, right?
Yeah.
But sometimes it's like, how do we even start?
Exactly. Mm. And these characters, they kind of become our guides.
Yeah.
As they go on this, well, pretty unconventional journey with the Spellbinder.
Unconventional is putting it mildly. I mean, they're going from like Mauritius.
Okay, wow.
To the Taj Mahal.
Wow.
Rome. Even Nelson Mandela's old prison cell on Robben Island.
So this isn't your typical like self-help seminar?
No, not at all.
But what's with all the travel? Like, what's the connection between personal growth?
Right.
And, you know, these exotic places?
Well, Sharma's clever about it. He uses each place almost as like a backdrop for a lesson.
Interesting.
He connects personal growth ideas to, you know, historical figures.
Right.
Famous landmarks. It makes the ideas, you know, stick with you.
It's like this mental adventure takes you outside your everyday routine. But let's get to the heart of it.
Okay.
What exactly the 5 a.m. Club philosophy?
The core idea is owning that first hour, like before the world's even awake.
Okay.
You dedicate it to what Sharma calls the victory hour.
The victory hour. Sounds intense. What does that even look like?
Not just sitting in silence. It's about actively investing in yourself.
Okay.
Mind, body, spirit. He breaks it down with something called the 20-20-20 formula.
Oh, I've heard of that. Tell me more.
So it's super structured. 20 minutes, intense exercise. Then 20 minutes of reflection.
Okay.
Journaling, meditation, you know, that kind of thing. And finally, 20 minutes of learning.
Got it.
Personal growth stuff. Could be reading, maybe a podcast, even working on a creative project.
So it's not just about waking up early.
No.
It's about having a plan, like making that time work for you. But how do you actually do that?
Right.
Waking up early is one thing.
Right.
But a whole new routine, that's a different beast.
Sharma gets that for sure. He has something he calls the habit installation protocol.
Okay.
It's a framework to help you actually build this 5 a.m. thing step by step.
I think a lot of people listening are probably wondering that, right? Like, how do you make lasting changes? How does this protocol work?
Well, it recognizes that new habits, they take time and effort.
Yeah.
Three stages: destruction, installation, integration. Destruction is first. It's about breaking those old habits, which is tough.
Yeah.
Your brain, it likes its routines.
It's like you're clearing the ground to build something new.
Yeah.
Got to get rid of the old before you lay a new foundation. But doesn't that mean, like, facing resistance? Mm-hmm. Our brains can be pretty stubborn.
Oh, absolutely. And that's where installation comes in, the messy middle part, right?
Yeah.
Where you're consciously building that new routine. Uh-huh. This is where consistency, self-discipline, they're key.
It's like you got to show up every day, even when you don't feel like it. You have to trust the process.
Yeah, you got to trust it. And finally, there's integration. This is when it all clicks.
Uh-huh.
The 5 a.m. routine, it's your new normal. Not a struggle anymore. You just do it.
That's the dream.
It is. It's reaching the point where those good habits, they just happen effortlessly. And you're getting the benefits.
So the book's not all like dry theories and routines, right?
Yeah.
It sounds like there's a whole adventure waving in.
Oh, for sure. Remember all those exotic places? Well, Sharma uses those settings to introduce all these like fascinating characters. And there are unexpected twists, too. Keeps you hooked.
So not your typical self-help book. Tell me more about these characters.
Well, there's this homeless man they meet in Rome. Seems to have this, like, uncanny wisdom. Deep insights.
Okay.
Then there's this billionaire mentor. Totally eccentric. Think, like, handstands, spontaneous helicopter rides.
Wait, what? A homeless man and a billionaire. That's quite a mix. What role do they play in the story?
They both act as guides. For the entrepreneur and the artist, they offer wisdom, you know, challenges, support while they're figuring things out.
So it's like a team of unlikely mentors.
Yeah, you could say that.
Each bringing their own perspective.
Exactly. And then, oh, there's this big twist. death threats.
Whoa, hold on. Death threats? Against who?
The entrepreneur. It adds this whole layer of suspense.
Okay, that's getting intense. But how does that tie into self-improvement?
It's actually a clever way to highlight resilience, courage,
right.
Overcoming fear. Those are essential, right?
Yeah.
For anyone trying to achieve their goals.
So it's like facing those challenges head on. You build inner strength. That helps you keep going when things get tough.
Exactly. And that's what the entrepreneur learns. She starts out driven, but emotionally she's hurting.
Yeah.
And through all this, she discovers vulnerability,
okay.
Self-acceptance, inner healing. Powerful stuff.
It's a powerful message. It's like true success isn't just about, you know, those external achievements. It's also about what's happening inside, the transformation.
I think so. What about the artist, though? What's his takeaway from all this?
Yeah, what about him?
His journey is all about rediscovering his passion, his creative side, you know, his sense of purpose. He starts lost, kind of disillusioned.
Yeah.
But through these other characters, he learns to embrace his talents and pursue his art, like, with new energy.
So both characters, even though they start in different places.
Totally.
They're both on this quest for self-discovery.
Yes.
And fulfillment. It's interesting how Sharma uses those parallel journeys to show that these themes, they're universal.
It really highlights that personal growth, it's not a one-size-fits-all thing.
Right.
It's finding your path, embracing your strengths, overcoming your own challenges.
It sounds like the 5 a.m. Club, it's about so much more than just waking up early.
Oh, for sure.
It's about this mindset, growth, resilience, purpose.
Absolutely.
But how does Sharma connect all that to, you know, success in business and life?
That's where the five assets of genius come in.
Hmm.
He explains that we all have these hidden powers, but we have to cultivate them to reach our full potential.
Okay, what are these five assets of genius, and how do they connect to the 5 a.m. thing?
The assets are your mental faculty, your physical energy, your personal willpower, your heart set, that's like your emotional capacity, and your soul set, your spiritual connection. The book argues that when you wake up every morning, you've got a fresh supply of these assets.
Okay.
But it's up to you to use them wisely.
So it's like we get these valuable resources every day.
We do.
And the 5 a.m. method, it's teaching us how to invest them strategically instead of, you know, wasting them on distractions or bad habits.
You got it. It's about your actions matching your values, going after your passions, and making a real contribution.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
But is it all about willpower? I think a lot of people, they struggle with self-discipline.
Yeah.
Finding the motivation to stick with new routines.
It's a common misconception, though. It's not just willpower. It's about understanding your strengths.
Yeah.
Knowing where you might be, you know, leaking energy or falling into those negative patterns.
So self-awareness. Identifying the areas where you might be sabotaging yourself. And then coming up with strategies to overcome that.
Exactly. And the book says, this work, it starts in those early morning hours when it's quiet. You can focus on yourself, no distractions.
Okay.
It's about making a sanctuary, a time to connect with your deeper self. Set the tone for a day of intention and purpose.
I love that. Creating a sanctuary of solitude.
Sure.
Sounds so peaceful.
It is.
And empowering.
Yeah.
But does the book, like, offer specific strategies for making the most of that time? Or is it up to each person?
Well, Sharma provides a framework, but he also encourages you to, you know, experiment. Find what works for you.
Yeah.
He emphasizes play, engaging in things that bring you joy, help you disconnect from work.
Makes sense. If you're going to wake up before dawn, you might as well do things you enjoy.
Exactly.
But how does that playfulness fit into the whole productivity and achievement thing?
It's all about balance. The billionaire mentor explains that top performers, they understand. You got to switch between periods of intense work and strategic recovery. He calls these the twin cycles of elite performance.
So not pushing yourself to exhaustion. It's about working in focused bursts, then resting and recharging.
That's it. And play. It's essential. Recharges those creative batteries. Prevents burnout. It's about that sweet spot between pushing yourself and giving yourself space.
Speaking of play, what about this hot air balloon ride you mentioned?
Oh, right.
What's that all about?
So the billionaire mentor, he takes the entrepreneur and the artist on this surprise hot air balloon ride.
Okay.
To show them how important it is to step outside your comfort zone. Embrace new experiences.
Okay.
He says, sometimes you gotta let go of control, have some fun, let your mind wander.
So it's not all about, you know, discipline and focus all the time.
Yay.
You got to be spontaneous, too. Embrace the unexpected. But I gotta ask, what does a hot air balloon ride have to do with personal growth?
It's a metaphor
okay.
for taking risks,
yeah.
embracing the unknown, trusting the journey. The billionaire mentor, he believes that when you push yourself beyond your comfort zone,
yeah.
you discover strengths you didn't know you had. And that unlocks creativity and innovation.
I like that. It's like that saying, life begins the edge of your comfort zone.
Exactly.
But I feel like there's more to this hot air balloon ride than just a fun adventure. What happens next?
That's where things take a turn. They land in a pretty unexpected place, Robben Island.
Oh, wow.
You know, the former prison where Nelson Mandela was held captive for 18 years.
Wow. That's a big contrast to the luxury of Mauritius.
It is.
But I'm guessing it's not just a random detour. What's the significance of Robben Island?
It's a powerful reminder. Even when things are incredibly tough, the human spirit can win.
Yeah.
It's a lesson in resilience, forgiveness, pursuing a greater purpose.
Sounds like a pretty intense experience.
It was.
How do the characters react to that?
Well, at first they're shocked, confused. But as they learn about Mandela's story,
yeah,
they're deeply moved by his strength, his compassion, his commitment.
How does this experience tie into the bigger themes of the book?
It highlights how important it is to find meaning and purpose in life, even when things are hard. It suggests that true greatness, it often comes from challenges. And by embracing those struggles, we find a deeper sense of purpose and resilience.
That's profound. It's not about avoiding the hard stuff.
Right.
It's about using those experiences, no matter how tough they are, to shape who you are and fuel your mission.
Exactly. And that leads to one of the most important ideas in the book, the heroic human circle.
Okay.
It's a framework for developing the virtues that Sharma believes are essential for a meaningful life. A life that makes an impact.
Intriguing. Tell me more about this heroic human circle. What virtues are we talking about?
It includes courage, authenticity, service, and love. But it's not just about being a good person.
Right.
It's about using those qualities to make a real difference in the world.
So it's about going beyond self-improvement, thinking about your role in the bigger human story.
Yes.
It's about contributing to something bigger than yourself, leaving a legacy.
That's it.
But how does this tie back into the 5 a.m. Club method?
Sharma argues that by developing these virtues every day, we become better leaders.
Okay.
We're compassionate people. And we contribute more to society.
Like a ripple effect.
Exactly.
You invest in yourself.
Yeah.
And it creates positive change that spreads out to your family, your community, even the world.
Precisely. And the book suggests that the 5 a.m. method, it gives you the structure and the discipline you need.
Right.
To cultivate those virtues and make them part of your daily life.
It's all coming together now.
It is.
It's not just about productivity. It's about becoming the best version of yourself and then using that to make a positive impact. But we can't forget about the entrepreneur. She's got those death threats to deal with.
Right. That storyline really emphasizes mental and emotional resilience and even spiritual. Even when we're working on ourselves, the world can still throw us curveballs.
It's like a reminder that life isn't always easy. We need that inner strength to navigate those challenges and not get derailed.
Exactly. And that's where the 5 a.m. Club method helps. By focusing on her personal growth, the entrepreneur develops the tools she needs to handle even the toughest situations. She learns to tap into this newfound strength and courage, faces her fears head on.
It's interesting how her response to the threats changes throughout the book.
Yeah.
She doesn't freeze up. She uses those experiences to become even more resilient, determined.
It really shows the power of the method. By consistently prioritizing her well-being and growth, she builds this unshakable inner core that helps her get through anything.
That's encouraging. A powerful message for anyone facing hard times. Mm-hmm. But what about the artist? How does he deal with the pressure and uncertainty of a creative path?
His journey reminds us that the 5 a.m. Club principles, they're for everyone. It doesn't matter what you do for a living.
Yeah.
It's about finding your potential and going after what you love.
Yeah.
With more intention and purpose.
I like that. Empowering people to create a life they love no matter what they do.
Exactly. And the artist's transformation is a great example of that. He rediscovers his spark, gains confidence, and ultimately finds fulfillment expressing himself through his art.
It sounds like both characters go through some major personal growth, each in their own way. But how does their relationship affect their individual journeys?
It shows how important support and connection are for personal growth. They challenge each other, offer encouragement, celebrate each other's successes. Their bond becomes a source of strength for both of them.
So it's not just about doing it alone.
Nope.
It's about finding your people, the ones who believe in you, support you, and hold you accountable.
Absolutely. And the book suggests that having that strong support system is key for getting through challenges, staying motivated, and reaching your goals.
This reminds me of something the billionaire mentor says a lot. Heaven on earth is a state, not a place. What's he getting at there?
He's saying that true happiness comes from within. It's about gratitude, joy, and wonder. And that's regardless of your circumstances.
So it's about changing your perspective, focusing on the good stuff, finding those moments of beauty and meaning in everyday life.
Exactly. It's choosing to see the world as full of possibilities, even when things are hard.
And the book says that shift in perspective is key for achieving lasting success and fulfillment.
Definitely. It's not about chasing what other people think or material things. It's about inner peace, purpose, and joy.
I think we've built a good foundation for understanding the 5 a.m. club now. It's not just about the wake-up time. It's about personal growth, resilience, purpose, creating a life that matches your values and dreams. But I'm ready to get into the practical side. What specific tactics does Sharma recommend to make this 5 a.m. routine actually work?
That's exactly what we'll be looking at in the next part of our deep dive. We'll get into the nitty-gritty of the method, creating a focused environment, maximizing productivity, even incorporating breaks throughout your day.
I'm ready to learn how to make this 5 a.m. magic happen. Stay tuned.
So, ready to actually put the 5 a.m. club method into practice? Let's get tactical.
I'm all in. We've talked about the why, now I want the how. How do you make that early wake up not just happen, but like be productive?
Yeah.
Because dragging yourself out of bed, that's only half the battle.
You're telling me. Sharma actually starts with your surroundings. He calls it creating a tight bubble of total focus.
Okay, tight bubble of total focus. That sounds a little intense. Do I need to like build a soundproof bunker in my basement?
No, no bunker is needed. It's more about eliminating distractions. Hmm. Setting yourself up for success before you even start working. Like, what if you left your phone in another room?
Oh.
Silenced all those notifications, maybe decluttered your workspace.
I can see that. It's like you're creating a mental sanctuary, a place where you can actually focus on what matters. No more, you know, falling down the social media rabbit hole first thing in the morning.
Exactly. Even small things can make a difference.
Yeah.
Noise-canceling headphones, calming music, anything that creates that sense of peace and focus.
It's all about being intentional with your environment, setting the stage for a productive day. But what about when you're actually, you know, at your desk, ready to work? Does Sharma have any tips for maximizing productivity?
He does. And one that might surprise you is the 90901 rule.
90901. That sounds a little intimidating. What's that all about?
So for the first 90 minutes of your workday, you focus on your single most important task, the one that'll have the biggest impact on your goals. And you do this for 90 days straight. No distractions, no interruptions.
Whoa, 90 days. That's a serious commitment. But I get it. If you're consistently working on your biggest goals right off the bat, you're going to make progress.
Exactly. You build momentum, set yourself up for a more productive day.
But let's be real. Not everyone has a free 90 minutes first thing in the morning to dedicate to just one task.
True. It's not always possible. But Sharma's point is, it's about making a choice to prioritize what really matters. Maybe you need to shift your schedule, delegate some things, or even talk to colleagues about, you know, protecting your time.
Taking control of your day instead of letting it control you. Making deliberate choices about your time and energy. But what if you can't swing a full 90 minutes? Any other time management strategies?
He does. There's the 60-10 method, which is a bit more doable for most people.
Okay, tell me more about that one.
It's about switching back and forth between focused work time and strategic breaks. Work for 60 minutes, then take 10 minutes off.
Kind of like the Pomodoro technique?
Yeah, kind of. But the important thing here is what you do during those breaks. It's not about checking social media or email. It's about things that actually recharge you.
So like taking a walk, listening to music,
yeah,
meditating, or even just like stretching.
Exactly. Give your brain a chance to rest and reset.
Yes.
Then you can go back to work with more focus. This goes back to what the billionaire mentor says about play, remember? He encourages the entrepreneur and the artist to do things they enjoy. It helps their creativity and productivity.
Yeah, he even takes them on that hot air balloon ride, which, while a bit over the top, does show how important it is to get out of your routine and just have fun. But back to those breaks. I think a lot of people, they feel guilty taking them. Like they should be working nonstop.
I know, right? But Sharma's point is, those breaks are crucial. They help you stay focused and keep your energy up all day. He says, set a timer to remind yourself and then actually get up and do something that helps you disconnect. Recharge.
So it's not about pushing yourself to the limit without stopping. It's about working smarter, not harder.
Exactly. Speaking of working smarter, have you heard of the Daily Five concept? It's really simple, but it helps build momentum and keep you motivated.
I love simple but effective strategies. What's this one about?
It's about focusing on five small wins every day.
Celebrating those little victories, the ones that seem small, but they're actually helping you reach your big goals.
Exactly. It could be anything. Finishing a report, making a sales call, even just clearing out your inbox. The point is, you're training your brain to focus on progress. And that can really change your mindset and motivation.
It's easy to get overwhelmed by our to-do list and forget to appreciate how far we've come. Intentionally celebrating those little wins, that's like giving yourself a little high five, acknowledging your efforts. But what about exercise? Does Sharma want us to squeeze that into the 5 a.m. routine too?
He does, but not in the way you might think. He's more about what he calls the second wind workout.
The second wind workout, what's that?
It's a short, intense workout, but you do it between 2 and 6 p.m.
So not first thing in the morning, like a lot of fitness people say. Why the afternoon?
He calls it tapping into your second wind. That's that burst of energy you get after the post-lunch slump. A quick workout can boost your focus, creativity, and energy, helps you power through the rest of the day.
Like hitting the reset button. Instead of trying to use up all your energy first thing in the morning.
Exactly. And it doesn't have to be anything crazy. 10, 20 minutes of high-intensity stuff, or even a fast walk outside can make a big difference.
I like that he emphasizes finding what works for you and your schedule. But so far, we've been talking a lot about work stuff. Does the 5 a.m. Club talk about having a balanced life outside of work, too?
Definitely. Sharma's big on making time for your heart set. That's your emotional well-being.
So things like spending time with people you care about, hobbies, all those things that bring you joy and meaning.
Exactly. He even says you should schedule those activities into your week, just like a work meeting.
That's so true. It's easy to let those things slide when you're busy. But if they're on your calendar, you're more likely to make them happen.
Right. It goes with his idea of a weekly design system. He says, take 30 minutes every Sunday to plan your week. And not just work stuff. Think about personal appointments, social things, even self-care.
It's like taking a more holistic approach to time management. Looking at all aspects of life, yeah. Not just your career.
Exactly. He even says you should schedule empty space for spontaneity and unexpected adventures.
I love that. Life isn't just about checking things off a to-do list. It's about being open to new experiences and those unplanned moments that make life interesting. But what about those little bits of time we waste, like our commute?
He has a strategy for that, too. It's called the Traffic University.
Traffic University.
Okay.
I'm intrigued.
It's about using that commute time, whether you're driving, walking, or on the bus or train, for learning and personal growth.
So instead of scrolling through social media or getting stressed in traffic, you could be listening to podcasts, audiobooks, or even learning a new language.
Exactly. Sharma's point is, even those small chunks of time, if you use them right, they can help you grow, personally and professionally.
It's a good reminder. We often complain about not having enough time, but then we waste those little moments. What a great way to turn downtime into learning time.
Right. It's all about being intentional with your time and energy. Every moment is a chance to learn and grow.
But what about when we feel stuck, limited by our own beliefs? Does Sharma talk about how to get past those mental blocks and reach big goals?
He does. He introduces something called 10x thinking. It's about pushing past what you think you're capable of and setting really ambitious goals, ones that might even seem impossible at first.
So thinking bigger.
Yeah.
Challenging yourself to achieve things you thought were out of reach.
Exactly. Sharma wants you to ask yourself, what would I do if I knew I couldn't fail? And then go after those goals with everything you've got.
It's about believing in what's possible and not letting fear or self-doubt stop you. It's a good reminder that we can often do way more than we think we can.
I agree. And Sharma believes that when you set those big, audacious goals, you unlock potential you didn't even know you had, and that's how you get extraordinary results.
Now, throughout the book, Sharma talks about these billionaires' maxims. What are those exactly, and how do they fit in with the whole 5 a.m. Club idea?
Those maxims are basically little pieces of wisdom that the billionaire mentor shares. They offer insights into the mindset, habits, and values that made him successful.
So it's like getting a sneak peek into the mind of a really successful person. and learning from their experiences.
And those maxims cover all sorts of things, from the importance of collecting experiences instead of stuff, to the power of love and finding wonder in everyday life.
Sounds like a gold mine of advice for anyone who wants to live a more meaningful and fulfilling life.
Definitely. One that stuck with me was, to solve big problems and make history, sweat the small stuff. Sounds kind of counterintuitive, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the idea is that to really master something, you got to focus on the details. Strive for excellence in everything you do.
It's a good point. Success isn't always about those big splashy moments.
Mm-hmm.
It's about showing up consistently and doing the work, even when it's not glamorous.
Right. And Sharma says that attention to detail, that's what separates the good from the great, the ordinary from the extraordinary.
It's about getting the basics right, building a solid foundation for success. But with all the distractions we have today, it's easy to lose sight of those fundamentals.
That's why the billionaire mentor says it's important to set boundaries, to protect your time and attention from all that digital noise. He even suggests a digital detox. Take regular breaks from technology, reconnect with yourself and the world around you.
That's so important. It's easy to get lost in the digital world and forget about what really matters. But even with the best strategies, we all have moments of self-doubt, discouragement.
Yeah.
Does Sharma offer any advice on how to deal with those dips in motivation?
Absolutely. He says it's important to cultivate a possibility mindset. Believe in yourself and embrace positive self-talk.
So challenge those negative thoughts. Change your perspective. Focus on your strengths instead of your weaknesses.
Exactly. He even suggests writing a personal manifesto, a statement of your values, beliefs, and goals to remind yourself what you're working towards.
Having a physical reminder of your goals and values, that can be really powerful, especially when you're doubting yourself.
Yeah.
But what about when things go wrong? When you face setbacks or challenges, what does Sharma say about dealing with those moments?
He has a concept called opposition thinking. It's about using obstacles as fuel, as chances to grow and learn.
So instead of letting setbacks get you down, you use them to become stronger and more resilient.
Exactly. It's about asking yourself, what can I learn from this? How can I use this to become better?
It's all about having a growth mindset. Understanding that failure isn't the opposite of success, it's part of the journey.
Right. And Sharma believes that when you embrace challenges and learn from your mistakes, you grow faster and achieve more.
I love that perspective. It's so empowering. But does Sharma just talk about these ideas, or does he bring them to life with stories and examples?
Oh, he's a great storyteller. He uses stories and anecdotes from history, literature, even his own life, to illustrate his points. One that really sticks out is his visit to Nelson Mandela's prison cell on Robben Island.
You mentioned that earlier. It's hard to imagine a more powerful place for a lesson in resilience and fighting for something bigger than yourself.
It really shows that even in the face of incredible hardship, the human spirit can triumph. Mandela's dedication to his cause, his strength in the face of suffering, and his ultimate victory over oppression, those are powerful lessons for anyone who wants to make a difference in the world.
It's a story that goes beyond cultures. It speaks to the power of the human spirit to overcome any challenge.
And it ties into the idea of heroic leadership that Sharma talks about. Leading with courage, compassion, and a deep commitment to something bigger than yourself.
So it's not just about personal growth. It's about using that growth to make a positive impact. But can anyone be a heroic leader? Or is that just for certain people?
Sharma thinks we all have the potential for heroic leadership, whether it's in our families, our communities, or our jobs. It's about stepping up, taking responsibility, and using your influence to make things better.
It's about realizing that we all have the power to make a difference, no matter how small.
Exactly. And he says that by developing those virtues of the heroic human circle, we can tap into that potential and become a force for good.
Okay, I think we've covered a lot of the practical stuff in the 5 a.m. Club now, how to be more productive, have a balanced life, and build a mindset of resilience and possibility. But does Sharma talk about how to keep this going, how to make these changes last?
Yes, he does. He says community is key. Surround yourself with people who are on the same path as you, people who support you and hold you accountable.
So find your tribe, your people. The ones who inspire you, challenge you, and help you stay committed.
Exactly. He even suggests starting a 5 a.m. club with your own friends or colleagues, a group that commits to waking up early and supporting each other's growth.
What a cool idea. Having that support system and sense of community can make such a difference when you're trying to change your life. But what about when you just don't feel motivated? When you lose sight of the big picture and start to wonder why you're even bothering with all this self-improvement stuff?
That's where legacy thinking comes in. Sharma wants you to think about how you want to be remembered. What impact do you want to leave on the world?
So connect your actions now to a bigger purpose, something that goes beyond your own life.
Exactly. It's about realizing we're all part of something bigger than ourselves, and that our choices can have a ripple effect that lasts long after we're gone.
That's a powerful way to think about it. It shifts the focus away from instant gratification and helps us see our efforts as part of a larger story.
And Sharma believes that by thinking about your legacy, you tap into a deeper motivation and commitment.
Like finding a source of inspiration that goes beyond what you want for yourself, it connects you to something much bigger.
Exactly. And it reminds you that your choices today can have a huge impact on the world tomorrow.
Okay, before we talk about the criticisms of the book, let's revisit the heroic human circle one more time. Can you remind us of those key virtues Sharma thinks are essential for a meaningful and impactful life?
Sure. The heroic human circle includes things like courage, authenticity, service, love, honesty, growth, resilience, and spirituality.
And it's not just about being a good person, right? It's about building your character, becoming the best version of yourself, and using your strengths to make a positive difference.
Right. The book suggests that by developing these qualities, we not only improve our own lives, but also inspire others and create a ripple effect of positive change.
It sounds like a roadmap for a life of purpose, meaning, and impact.
It is. And Sharma says these qualities aren't something you're born with. They're skills you can develop with practice and effort.
So it's about making a daily commitment to live by your values, even when it's hard, even when you face challenges.
Absolutely. It's about showing up as your best self every day and making choices that reflect your values and dreams.
Okay, I think we've done a good job explaining the 5 a.m. Club. We've looked at the main ideas, the practical strategies, and the stories that make it interesting. But no book, especially a self-help book, is without its critics.
True. And it's important to look at those different perspectives and decide for ourselves what we think.
Right. So in the next part of our deep dive, we'll explore some of the criticisms of the 5 a.m. Club, and we'll share our thoughts on the book's message and what it might mean for our listeners.
Looking forward to that conversation. It's always interesting to hear how people react to these kinds of ideas and to explore the different sides of personal growth.
Absolutely. So stay tuned for the final part of our deep dive into the 5 a.m. Club.
All right, so we've really dug into the 5 a.m. Club. But like any popular book, especially in the self-help world, it's gotten some pushback. Let's look at some of those criticisms.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest ones is that waking up at 5 a.m., it's just too rigid.
Yeah.
Not realistic for a lot of people. Not everyone's a morning person.
Some of us are night owls. We do our best work later. Does the book address that at all?
Actually, yeah. The billionaire mentor, he talks about it directly.
Okay.
He says the exact time isn't like the magic solution.
Right. It's more about the idea of having that dedicated victory hour.
Yeah.
And that can be whenever works for you.
So if you're a night owl, maybe your victory hour is, I don't know, after dinner or something.
Exactly. It's about being intentional, you know, carving out that time.
Yeah.
Making it a non-negotiable part of your day, no matter what time it is.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Finding what works for you. Your own rhythms. But I've also heard people say, the book's kind of preachy.
Yeah.
Over the top. What do you think about that?
I can see that. It definitely has a strong, like, motivational tone.
Yeah.
Inspiring for some, maybe too much for others.
I can see that. Some of the billionaire mentors, antics.
Oh, yeah.
Like the handstands, the poetry. It might not be everyone's cup of tea.
Yeah. Some might find those parts a bit distracting.
Yeah.
Or even cheesy.
Yeah.
It's definitely Sharma's style, though.
Yeah.
Mixing self-help with storytelling.
Right.
And a little bit of fantasy.
It's definitely memorable. Yeah. But I get why it wouldn't work for everyone. And some of the characters, like that homeless man who seems to, like, have all the answers.
Yeah.
Feels a bit too perfect.
Yeah, some of them can feel a little unrealistic.
Yeah.
Like, they're representing an idea, not a real person.
Right.
Which can make it hard to relate to if you're not, you know, flying around the world or hanging out with billionaires.
I think that's a valid point.
Yeah.
Even though the messages are universal, the way they're presented, it might not feel genuine to everyone.
Yeah, I agree.
Another thing I've heard is that some of the ideas in the book, they're not exactly revolutionary.
Right.
A lot of it seems like, well, common sense. Exercise, meditation, setting goals.
It's true. Those ideas have been around. But what Sharma is good at is he packages them in a story.
Okay.
He gives you a framework to actually use them.
So it's less about new ideas, more about presenting familiar ones in an engaging way.
Yes.
And giving you actionable steps to take.
Exactly. He takes what we already know, gives it structure,
yeah,
and a story to help us put it into practice.
All right, so we've talked about the criticisms. Now, what stands out to you about the 5 a.m. club? What's the most valuable thing for our listeners?
For me, it's the focus on what he calls the inner game.
Right.
It's not just tips and tricks for getting things done.
Yeah.
It's about developing your mindset, your emotional intelligence, your resilience.
Yeah.
All the things that make life truly fulfilling.
I agree. It's about building that inner strength and self-awareness.
Yeah.
So you can be your best self no matter what you're doing.
Exactly. Sharma reminds us that true success, it involves everything.
Yeah.
It's about your actions, matching your values, going after what you're passionate about, and making a difference.
And that starts with taking control of your morning, using that time to invest in yourself, even if it's not exactly at 5 a.m.
Right. It's about setting the tone for your day, putting your well-being first, and showing up as the best version of you.
Now, a lot of our listeners, they're driven, ambitious people, always looking to level up. What advice would you give them based on what we've talked about today?
I'd say take a step back. Ask yourself, are you really prioritizing what truly matters?
Okay.
Are you caught up in the hustle, chasing after external validation, maybe neglecting your own well-being in the process?
That's such an important question.
It is.
It's so easy to get caught up in the busyness of life.
It is.
And lose sight of what's really important.
The book challenges us to define success on our own terms.
Yeah.
Not by what society says. It's about making your actions match your values, following your passions, and making a real contribution.
And that often means slowing down.
Yeah.
Creating space to reflect and investing in your own growth.
It's not about doing more. It's about doing the right things. Focus on the 20% of activities that really make a difference.
Okay.
And let go of the 80% that just drain you and distract you from your goals.
That's a great point. It's about being mindful of how you spend your time and energy and making choices that support your values and goals. One thing the book doesn't really talk about is technology.
Yeah, that's important to think about,
yeah.
Especially in today's world where we're always connected. That's a whole other deep dive. But for now, let's leave our listeners with this. What if you treated your attention like it was something precious?
Okay.
You guarded it from distractions and only invested it in things that truly matter.
I like that. It's about being more aware of how you're spending your time and energy.
Yes.
And making deliberate choices about what you let into your mind.
Exactly. Imagine how different your life would be if you took back all those wasted hours and used them to achieve your biggest goals.
That's something to think about. Thanks for diving deep with us into the 5 a.m. Club.
Absolutely.
If you're inspired to check out the book, we'd love to hear your thoughts. Until next time, keep on learning and growing.